Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now?
Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see Whoa!
man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. Turning the tide, loud as the orgia.
Even superheroes gotta be healthy. Get the Sister Girl Workout Book, a graphic novel available this Black History Month at the DuSable Museum Trading Post gift shop located at 56 and Cottage Grove in Chicago. There you'll find our growing line of hot Black Age graphic novels, or visit Only Studios at www.onlistudios.com. Plus, get your own Onlywears Art Star Denim Jacket. These one-of-a-kind special designs are available now at the Elephant Room Gallery at 703 South Wabash in Chicago. Only's wearable art brings out the art star in you. Indie today, Black Age forever at www.onlistudios.com.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Risen, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Risen offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Risen. Visit us online at phoenixrisen.com.
In this, her first romance novel, State of Ecstasy, Jew Ephraim finds passion on the lush island of Martinique. Reminiscent of the works of Clipas and Lawrence, Jew Ephraim's rich emotional landscape delivers an achingly accessible complexity that makes State of Ecstasy steamy, provocative, and fresh, and its author, a forceful new voice who brings an entirely new level of heat to romance. With her soon-to-be-released paranormal novel, Ephraim is giving us a brand new insight into this genre. Find her books on Amazon, iTunes, and wherever books are sold.
Are you the parent of a troubled teen, or you just want to have a closer relationship with your child? If so, sign up for our free webinar called 5 Easy Tips to Effective Communication with Your Teen right now, hosted by teen expert Release Henry. Log on to successfulteenparenting.com/webinar.
Walking down the street now is a dangerous thing. There are drug dealers, crack houses, gang members, and crackheads. People fighting, cursing, and killing too. So much chaos, we don't know what to do. But if people only knew that they are hurting little children, if they could only see what our community could be. When in consultation, 1, stay calm. 2, try to say something positive. 3, tell the person what's on your mind. 4, ask if the person understands. 5, thank the person for listening if you can. Come on, y'all, let's be an example. It has to start somewhere. How about now? For more information on ways to prevent violent crimes, contact Totally Positive Productions at 773-488-9553.
Friendly announcer, I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to
right. own yourself.
Good morning or evening, friends. This is your friendly announcer. Jimmy's Underground Radio Network is now on the air. Sorry about yesterday, you know. We always got to give reverence to the man, Martin Luther King. We took yesterday off to celebrate the nation's celebration of Martin Luther King. It's funny. When Ronald Reagan signed that act, people just said he was doing it for votes, like it was insignificant, it really didn't mean anything. But here we have a black president on the 50th anniversary of I Had a Dream speech, the death of Otis's birthday, the 150 year of the Emancipation Proclamation that Frederick Douglass helped establish. But it's funny how when Ronald Reagan put that in order, people act like it was nothing. But shout out to Ronald Reagan for making that day possible and making it possible for President Obama to be up there, you know. But I ain't going to be fronting, y'all. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the inauguration, and I was frantic. You know, I think the president is going to do things for African-Americans this year. Normally, I say no, but the way he was going out, the way he was acting the swag, I guess he has nothing to lose. Now, don't prove me wrong, Obama. Let me see what you're going to do. But I think this is a 18-month sprint to the finish line, and I did say 18 months. Because after that, you're going to start touring and getting your little vacation on. But I was happy to see him finish the race by turning around and standing back and saying, let me get one more look at that. That was hot. But what was not hot was Beyonce. Now, ever since Marvin Gaye, what stars have all over the time has given their rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. Many stars. Matter of fact, let's give history. I think I got a few here. Let's give a history of people who did the Star Spangled Banner. Let me see. Because how you gonna get there and just lip sync? And I don't know if the band played or not, but here's a Jackson 5 back in the day. This is Jackson 5.
Didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
Trying to be all superstar, just being him. Then someone also said that Whitney Houston recorded her suit, so I'm gonna give shots out like that too. But Marvin was liver. Even the little rendition of Jackson's Five I played, even theirs was live. You know, and if you are a Whitney Houston fan, I guess you're taking it like all the other Whitney Houston fans are taking it, like the song is too hard. It's best that you do record it because you don't make no mistake, especially during the president inaugurations. You got to have it right. I guess that's what everybody's looking at that. So they're giving her excuse. We say Beyonce, even if I'm Beyonce fans, not what you're saying, Beyonce fans, yes. Guess you got to get it right. But how you going to get up there? You're going to sing at last at the first inauguration, and then Etta James jump you. Then you go back on the next inauguration, and you get Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson comes up there and out sings you. Kelly Clarkson. I know Jay-Z mad. You know, sitting up there, let this woman fake it. I wonder if she be faking it with him, too. Oh!
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And though it's hard for me to show it, I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I love you more each day. But the word got in my way. Oh,
I can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. One, two, three, hit me. Bop, bop, bop it out of bebop. Bop, bop. Yeah, bass man. Come on up. One, two, three, hit me. Sound good. Yeah. Saxophone on the floor. One, two, three.
Things up. I like Johnny Mathis, but I can't do that stuff.
877-838-9825, but the lines are down. So if you're calling in, you get a busy signal. That's because the lines are down right now. I got a lot of Beyonce fans out there. They've been texting me already saying, get off Beyonce. I'm going to get off her. And I was wrong for saying I wonder if she's faking it with Jay-Z because she was faking it at the inauguration. That was a bad joke. But anyway, back to the inauguration. I watched it on ABC. Is Al Roker on ABC? Which Al Roker on? NBC? NBC. I'm on NBC. And Al Roker getting the president to acknowledge him and the vice president. To me, that made my day. Like, get down, Al. You know? And this might sound a little racist to my Republican friends out there, but see the black man get the interview on that day over Andrew Mitchell and all the important people. Whether man makes it, I like it. Or unless they feel bad that he, if they don't say nothing to him, he might defecate on stuff outside. I don't know. Y'all make the choice. But anyway, there's going to be a good show coming out in February on Independent Lands on PBS. It's going to be called The Power Brokers. It's going to be dealing with the talented six, the big six, you want to call it. And everybody know about A. Philip Randolph. Everybody know about the Martin Luther King. Everybody know about the John Lewis's. Everybody know about the Royal Wilkins. But people forget about Whitney Young, whose strategy was to go into the boardrooms, integrate the boardrooms, while Kingham was integrating the restaurants and stuff. It had a whole, the piece is excellent. I got a chance to peep it out. And after they play it, I'm going to try to get some excerpts and play it. Because there's a lot of things that, we got people, whether you hate Obama or love him. Me as an African American, I do have to feel proud that America has changed. They reelected Obama. So it shows that we're not this quote unquote racial society that we are in. I'm not saying that we're not living this post racial society, but the fact that he won overwhelmingly made me feel good. Now, I will sit back and watch. I wonder how Mr. Frederick Douglass, if he's alive today, or could he just come back in time? How would he feel? Would he be, first of all, would he be angry at the black-on-black crime? Everybody say King, but would Frederick Douglass be angry at the black-on-black crime? The black-on-black killings? Because as we like to celebrate Martin Luther King, we must also celebrate Frederick Douglass. You see, they want to say the chain of success went from Martin Luther King to Barack Obama, but no. I say Martin Luther King was just the mid-ground for Obama. It went from Douglass to King to Obama. Let me go ahead and play this little 1965 interview, Meet the Press. I played it before, but let me go ahead and play it again so you get the depths of who Martin Luther King was. This is back in 1965.
This is Ned Brooks inviting you to Meet the Press. Meet the Press, America's press conference of the air and winner of every major award in its field, is a public affairs presentation of NBC News.
Our guest today on Meet the Press is Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., who led the Civil Rights March from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. Dr. King, who was the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, is president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He is in San Francisco, where he delivered a sermon this morning for Bishop Pike at the Grace Cathedral. Our panel of reporters is in Washington, D.C., and we'll have the first question now from Lawrence E. Spivak, permanent member of the Meet the Press panel.
Dr. King, former President Truman, was quoted by the AP as saying that the march from Selma, and this was his word, was silly and can't accomplish a darn thing except to attract attention. Now, there have been two murders, many beatings, and a federal expenditure for troops of about $300,000. Would you say that what the march accomplished was worth that cost?
Well, first, I would say that the march was not silly at all. I would think that the march did more to dramatize the indignities and the injustices that Negro people continue to face in the state of Alabama and many other sections of the South more than anything else. I think it was the most powerful and dramatic civil rights protest that has ever taken place in the South. And I think it well justified the cost that we put in it. Now, of course, we are sorry that a death occurred immediately after the march, And I'm sure that all people of goodwill are outraged and in deep sorrow as a result of the death of Mrs. Luzzo. But after all, we know in a nonviolent movement that there are these possibilities, and we go on with the faith that unmerited suffering is redemptive.
Dr. King, I think the demonstration was largely to get your voting rights bill through. Was it necessary for that purpose? Aren't you going to get that bill? And wouldn't you have gotten it whether or not you marched?
Well, the demonstration was certainly for the voting rights bill. However, we must recognize that there are other very tragic conditions existing in the state of Alabama which are as humiliating, as degrading, and as unjust as the denial of the right to vote, namely police brutality. And we marched on the state of the capital of Alabama to protest the long night of brutality, the constant murders that continue to take place in that state, for after all, under the administration of Governor Wallace, there have been 10 persons actually killed and murdered, and nothing has been done about it. There have been untold bombings of homes and churches. Again, nothing has been done about this on the whole. And we were marching there to protest these brutalities, these murders, and all of the things that go along with them, as much as to gain the right to vote. So it was a twofold march aimed at trying to rectify the conditions of Alabama and expose the evils that are deeply engulfed in that state.
Dr. King, you had your great demonstration, and Governor Leroy Collins, head of the Community Relations Service, hoped there would be a respite from demonstrations in Alabama in order to give the state an opportunity to solve some of the problems. Do you think there should be a respite in Alabama now?
Well, here again, with the murder of Mrs. Liuzzo on the eve, the night after the march, I can't see how there can be a respite. This is a state that continues to deal with human life as it is nothing. This is a state that continues to make murder a sort of nice pastime and gives respectability to resistance and defiance of the law. This is a state that continues to do all of the things that are contrary to our democratic creed, at least the political power structure of the state. And in the light of this, it seems to me that it will be necessary to continue to demonstrate until these conditions are removed. We don't believe in demonstrating for demonstration's sake. We don't have demonstration fever, but we do feel that as long as the conditions of injustice and man's inhumanity to man infiltrate that state, it will be necessary to demonstrate in order to bring these issues to the surface and lay them square before the conscience of the nation.
Then, as I understand it, Dr. King, you see no end to demonstrations at the present, either in Alabama or in other sections of the country?
No, I don't. I don't believe in the indiscriminate use of demonstrations, but I think as long as we have the problems with us, we're going to have demonstrations. And I think in the immediate, we must face the fact that Alabama has not come to terms with its conscience. Too many people of goodwill, and I do feel that there are many white people of goodwill and very decent white people in Alabama, but they have abdicated responsibility to the governor and to the sheriff Clarks and to the Bull Connors. And for this reason, we feel that we have a moral obligation to keep these issues before the public, before the American conscience, before the mainstream of our nation, so that somebody will do something about it, and demonstrations have proved to be the best way to do this.
Dr. King, would you list for us the barriers remaining which you believe must be destroyed before you and your followers will stop these demonstrations and give the South the chance to catch up?
Yes, first, there must be an agreement on the part of the political power structure of the South to guarantee the unhampered right to vote. This must be done with zeal, and it must be done with good faith. And this means removing every obstacle, including the poll tax. Now, there are some states in the hardcore South and other sections of the South that still have the poll tax in state elections, and we feel that this must be removed. Secondly, we confront the problem of brutality from sheriffs and from other police forces, from other law enforcement agents, and we feel that before demonstrations can cease, something must be done to end this kind of unnecessary abuse of police power and what we see as outright police brutality. Third, I would like to say that if our demonstrations are to stop, there must be some equality in terms of grappling with the problem of poverty. We have a poverty bill which has been nobly initiated by the president of our nation and the Congress, but in the South, so often, Negroes are denied the opportunity to be a part of these programs. They are not denied the possibility, the opportunity to be a part of the administration of them. And we feel that if demonstrations are to stop, Negroes must be brought into the very central structure of the whole poverty program. And then along with that, I think that is a great necessity to get every local governmental agency to go on record for being in line with law and order. All of these things are necessary before we can call a halt to demonstrations.
We'll be back with Meet the Press and more questions for our guest, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. First, this message.
Now, back to Meet the Press. Please remember, questions of our panel do not necessarily reflect their own point of view. Here is your moderator, Ned Brooks.
Resuming our interview, our guest today on Meet the Press is Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., who is in San Francisco. On our panel of reporters in Washington, D.C., you have just met Lawrence Spivak. Our other reporters today are Tom Wickert of the New York Times, James J. Kilpatrick of the Richmond News Leader, and John Chancellor of NBC News. We'll continue the questions now with Mr. Wickert.
Dr. King, you said a moment ago that Alabama was a state that gives respectability to the resistance and defiance of the law. And you listed an observance of the law by local agencies in the South as one of the cardinal aims that you were seeking. Yet on March the 9th, you led the second march on Montgomery in violation of a federal injunction not to march. You said that order was unjust. And John Lewis, one of your colleagues, said that the Negroes had a constitutional right to march, injunction or no injunction. Now, was that in keeping with the spirit of nonviolence and the restraint that has always characterized your movement? And could you explain your reasoning in defying the court order that day?
Well, let me say two things to that, Mr. Wicker. First, I did not consider myself defying a court order that particular day. I consulted with my attorneys before the march, and they stated that they felt that it was an invalid order and that it would not be, that I would not be in contempt of court violating the court order if I led the march to the point of having a moral confrontation with the state troopers at the point where the people were brutalized on Sunday. So I still don't consider that breaking a court order or breaking what I consider an unjust law. On the other hand, I must be honest enough to say that I do feel that there are two types of laws. One is a just law and one is an unjust law. I think we all have moral obligations to obey just laws. On the other hand, I think we have moral obligations to disobey unjust laws, because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. I think the distinction here is that when one breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust, he must do it openly, he must do it cheerfully, he must do it lovingly, He must do it civilly, not uncivilly, and he must do it with a willingness to accept the penalty. And any man who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust and willingly accepts the penalty by staying in jail in order to arouse the conscience of the community on the injustice of the law is at that moment expressing the very highest respect for law.
Well, I can sympathize with a good deal of that, but it seems to me you get into a very difficult point here at which one man's conscience is set, in fact, above the conscience of society, which has invoked the law. How are we to enforce law when a doctrine is preached that one man's conscience may tell him that the law is unjust when other men's conscience don't tell them that?
And I think you enforce it, and I think you deal with it by not allowing anarchy to develop. I do not believe in defying the law, as many of the segregationists do. I do not believe in evading the law, as many of the segregationists do. The fact is that most of the segregationists and racists that I see are not willing to suffer enough for their beliefs in segregation, and they are not willing to go to jail. I think the chief norm for guiding the situation is the willingness to accept the penalty. And I don't think any society can call an individual irresponsible who breaks the law and willingly accepts the penalty if conscience tells him that that law is unjust. And I think that this is a long tradition in our society. It's a long tradition in biblical history. Meshach and Abednego broke an unjust law, and they did it because they had to be true to a higher moral law. The early Christians practiced civil disobedience in a superb manner. Academic freedom would not be a reality today if it had not been for Socrates, and if it had not been for Socrates' willingness to practice civil disobedience. And I would say that in our own history, there's nothing that expresses a massive civil disobedience any more than the Boston Tea Party, and yet we give this to our young people and our students as a part of the great tradition of our nation. So I think we're in good company when we break unjust laws, and I think those who are willing to do it and accept the penalty are those who are part of the saving of the nation.
Mr. Kilpatrick.
In drawing your distinctions between just laws and unjust laws, Dr. King, do you distinguish between statutory laws, such as a local ordinance requiring segregation, and the law that is promulgated by a court in the form of an injunction?
Yes, I do distinguish between these. It does depend, however, Mr. Kilpatrick, on the court that renders the decision, and it does depend on the situation. There can be no gainsaying of the fact that many of the state courts actually misuse and abuse the judicial process. And I would make a distinction here between a decision that comes from a state court that is committed to preserving segregation and a federal court that is committed to bringing the basic and underlying truths of the Constitution into being. One distinguished jurist has said, justice too long delayed is justice denied. And we have seen courts that have delayed justice and in the process denied justice. So I would make a distinction here, but I think that the situation is one that has to be taken under consideration.
In your book, you describe the opinion of the Supreme Court in the school segregation cases as just law, if you recall. Suppose the Supreme Court were to decide in some particular case against the interests of the demonstrators, as the court very nearly decided in January in the Cox case. Would you then regard such an opinion of the Supreme Court as unjust law to be disobeyed?
Well, that's a rather iffy question, Mr. Kilpatrick. I would have to face it when I come to it, or when we face that in our society. I happen to feel that the Supreme Court has made a decision that it will never reverse. On the other hand, I might say that one has to understand what I mean by a just law. I think a law is just which squares with the moral law, and I think a law is unjust which is out of harmony with the moral laws of the universe.
Then the Supreme Court in the past has been unjust, has it not, then, in those cases in our history when it upheld segregation?
I think there are laws that have come into being that I consider it unjust, and I think the moral conscience of the nation considered unjust. This does not mean that the persons who rendered the decision were unjust people or that they were evil people. It simply meant that at that particular time they did not have the foresight to see what, let us say, back in 1896, Justin Holland saw. They differed among themselves. While most of the jurors rendered a decision making separate but equal the law of the land, that was a Justin Holland who said at that time that the Constitution is colorblind and rendered a dissenting opinion, which has now become the majority opinion of our country.
Dr. King, we have reports from Atlanta which indicate that you will recommend to the nation's labor unions a nationwide work stoppage to keep the plight of Alabama Negroes before the country. Now, can you give us some details on this plan?
Yes, Mr. Chancellor. I think the conditions in Alabama have degenerated to such a low level of social disruption and such a low level of man's inhumanity to man that the whole conscience of the nation must rise up and engage in some kind of creative, firm action program that will bring the business leaders and the decent people of Alabama to the point of bringing pressure to bear on Governor Wallace and other officials who are responsible for this reign of terror. I left Alabama last week after the march feeling that we had made a great triumph, and we certainly did in the march, and that maybe we would see a brighter day all over the state of Alabama. But the fact is, Governor Wallace refused to see those who had a petition to present, and not long after that, Mrs. Luzzo was brutally shot down in an automobile on Highway 80. This is just one other example of something that we've faced in the state of Alabama for a number of years. Consequently, I think that it is necessary for the nation to rise up and engage in a massive economic withdrawal program on the state of Alabama. To put it another way, I think the time has come for all people of goodwill to join in an economic boycott of Alabama products. So I'm in a few days planning to call on the trade unions to refuse to transport or use Alabama products. I hope to call on all Americans to refuse to buy Alabama products. And I hope to call on the Secretary of Treasury of the United States to withdraw all federal funds that it has on deposit in Alabama banks. And finally, I think it is necessary to call on all federal agencies in line with the 1964 Civil Rights Bill to withdraw support from a society that has refused to protect life and the right to vote.
Mr. Spivak.
Dr. King, the columnists Evans and Novak recently charged that the moderate Negro leaders, including you, have feared to point out the degree of communist infiltration in the civil rights movement. Have communists infiltrated the movement?
I certainly don't think so, Mr. Spivak, and I would like to vigorously deny that. I have no evidence for such an accusation, and I might say that in our bylaws, certainly in SCLC and the NAACP and CORE and SNCC and the Urban League and all of the civil rights organizations, we make it clear that communists cannot be in official positions and cannot be in the membership. Beyond this, I think I could say that the philosophical undergirdings of our movement would make communism impossible and would have communists on alien territory. For our movement has been based and is still based on a philosophy of nonviolence.
Dr.
And
King,
the
AP reported the other day that a picture of you taken in 1957 at a Tennessee interracial school is being plastered all over Alabama billboards with the caption, "Martin Luther King at a communist training school." Will you tell us whether that was a communist training school and what you were doing there?
Well, number one, I don't think it was a communist training school. In fact, I know it wasn't. The Highlander Folk School, which was referred to in that particular article, was a school that pioneered in bringing Negroes and whites together at a time when it was very unpopular to train them for leadership all over the South, and I think they did an able job in doing it. This school was supported by some of the great Americans such as Eleanor Roosevelt, Reinhold Niebuhr, Harry Golding, and many others that I could name. Secondly, the fact is that I never attended the school as far as training goes. I was there about 1 hour back in 1957 or 8. I went to deliver an address for the 25th anniversary of the Highlander Folk School. I got there about 15 minutes before I was to speak. I spoke about 45 minutes, and then I left immediately after my speech, and I think that's a pretty short period to get any training.
Mr. Wicker.
Dr. King, your movement has been distinguished for its nonviolent approach, but your people are under great pressures in many cases. How deeply do you fear the eruption of Negro violence in pursuit of Negro rights?
I feel that we will continue to have a nonviolent movement, and we will continue to find a vast majority of Negroes committed to nonviolence, at least as the best tactical approach, and from a pragmatic point of view, as the best strategy in dealing with the problem of racial injustice. Realism impels me to admit, however, that when there is justice and the pursuit of justice, violence disappears, and where there is injustice and frustration, the potentialities for violence are greater. And I would like to strongly stress the point that the more we can achieve victories through nonviolence, the more it will be possible to keep the nonviolent discipline at the center of the movement. But the more we find individuals facing conditions of frustration, conditions of disappointment and seething despair as a result of the slow pace of things and the failure to change conditions, the more it will be possible for the violence to interfere.
I'm sorry, but I see that our time is up. Thank you very much, Dr. King, for being with us on Meet the Press. I'll be back with you in just a moment.
Magic cards are red, blue, and white. Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago
Hold
and
on.
Illinois. All of our services are...
I missed that, Ebony. Hold on. I missed that. You missed that. Now I'm going to say it again. We missed it. Mic was off. Okay. Now, who was the first person to get inaugurated with Martin Luther King Bible and Abraham Lincoln Bible?
Barack Obama, a black man.
All right. Now hit the commercial, Ebony.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
347-838-9825. I guess the numbers are open, and let me bring the caller in from D.C. Dana, what's going on, Dana? How you doing there?
Hey, how are you?
All right. So, did you enjoy the inauguration yesterday? Monday?
Hold on. Did you see me outside jumping up and down, screaming and hollering?
I thought that was you, Dana. I thought that was you. But did you enjoy Beyonce lip-syncing?
You know what? Let me tell you something. Beyonce could sing with her fingers. She could pretend like she's singing. You know how they make them like hand puppets on
You're
TV?
Right.
But they make a little thumb and squish the hand, the little hand up there.
Right.
They can do that. Beyonce, that girl could blow. So,
well, Kelly Clarkson outsung her. That's embarrassing.
Well,
that's embarrassing.
No.
And she had a harder song to see. My Country Tiffany.
The Star Spangled Banner is a much harder song to sing. But Beyonce could smoke every day.
Hold on.
So.
Again, I played a lot of versions of Star Spangled Banner. Whitney Houston, Jackson 5, Marvin Gaye. I got a whole bunch of star-studded Star Spangled Banner on my repertoire. But I'm going to say this. I was surprised to see Beyonce performing at the inauguration. I felt funny because of the rumors saying that her Michelle Obama was so-called beef, and that's on the inside story. But now I'm wondering who pulled the trigger on it. Is Michelle, because Jennifer Hudson, she sung the song they danced to, and last year that was Beyonce's little dealio. But the fact that it's been leaked out and the band didn't play, the orchestra didn't play, is very interesting. But I see the here.
I can't see her, even if she had a problem. The first lady is a very classy lady. And I can't see her allowing anything to ruin their moment.
We're four years now into the beat that jumped out at the last inauguration. You know what I'm saying? Beyonce pulled some diva shit last inauguration that Michelle didn't like. You know what I'm saying? I need to ride up singing y'all. She's like, who the fuck are you?
She
can't match.
She needs to do that.
That was the last day the Secret Service got. Rumor has it. Here's a rumor now. That during the first inauguration, Beyonce ride to the inauguration ball.
I'm
Barack Obama. Michelle was tripping at the Secret Service, stopped her and got her in the car. Last 4 years has not been really proper to Beyonce. She ain't really been banging like she has. But that's that. And we got another black president in, and that's great, you know. But Dana, now his time is up. Would you be on the hook to support a black Republican president? I think in the next.
No, I want to know what you said. I couldn't hear what you said. What did she do? I couldn't hear why there was a problem between the two of them. You said.
She jumped in the president's limousine. The Secret Service stopped. But Beyonce let her in to get a ride to the spot. Michelle, like, hold on. Who the fuck is she? Beyonce. And she like, shit, I'm the first lady. But the rumor has it that Beyonce, Michelle was all classy with it, you know. She didn't trip. They rolled on. So Beyonce goes and sing the At Last, you know, At Last song, what have you. The next day, right after that, Ed James like, hey, bitch, your skinny ass, stop singing my song. What's up? And I feel like, damn, and the inside people was like, well, that's Michelle just trying to have Beyonce trying to have no fun on her. And then your inside
but
people.
But that don't even make sense. Why would she do that? Because regardless,
Dana,
he got Beyonce
a
lot, so that don't even make no sense.
Okay, well, Dana, you're trying to make sense. Divas crashed.
But
Divas crashed. When some chicks say I'm Beyonce, that means some shit. Some chicks say hold on. No, hold on, security. That was the last day that Secret Service team was rolling with them because they stopped for her. Like, hold on. Who the fuck is this lady right here? You know, and she looked like, man, you know who this chick is? No going on. What the fuck is this? It's my day today. This chick day. She just late. She late. You know who I am?
Yes.
But anyway, they gave her a ride, yada, yada, yada. But you know, that's how come, you know, her song, they've been pumping that hard for the last 4 years.
You got to be kidding me.
Right here, song here. You might. Hey, Dana. Name me three Beyonce songs right now. That's out. Three.
Single Lady.
No, that's
Fever.
Old. No, Dana, new. She had an album that's so good, worldwide, number one worldwide.
I mean,
let me tell you some data. There was a lady by
the
name. Oh, listen, all you know is this. Dana, because you'll be out there, Jack. I'll leave it alone. I'm going to go to something more topic. I'll leave it alone because, you know,
if
whatever.
I'll
leave it alone. You let Jack be out there. I'm going to say this. One song. Beyonce out all summer. Beyonce had an album out. And Motivation killed that whole, the other girl from Destiny Child, that one little single, smothered Beyonce the whole year. I mean, she got number one album that's selling worldwide. But it's not getting a lot of American airplay. So when I saw her singing the national anthem, I was tripping. And so I'm like, well, damn, well, maybe beef is squashed. You know, Jay-Z dropped $100 million, you know, you dropped some money, what have you. And so the next day I hear, not even 24 hours, that she lip synced. And next thing you know, everybody playing it back. I'm like, she is lip singing. And then you get Kelly Clarkson. She comes out and she lands it. And what was that? My Country Tennessee, Sweet Land of Liberty, these songs I sing, whatever, Land of Fire. And that's
But that's different than singing the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, you're
okay,
right.
All right, check this out. Jimmy. Check this out. Now, I will tell you, I'm a huge Beyonce fan, first of all.
We probably got
that part figured out.
We see that because Beyonce is the
dog. Why don't you listen to how, you know the song Fever? Give me Fever. You know what I'm talking about, Fever?
Right.
Why don't you look up the Beyonce version of Fever?
Okay, I'm going to look that up.
That girl is bad.
I'm going to play Famous Gay version of the Star Spangled Banner again for my listeners.
I mean, Whitney Houston smoked the Star Spangled Banner.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
Now, you get the crowd going crazy. That Marvin Gaye comes on the scene, taking a Star Spangled Banner. So, you know, yo, I'm not even lip singing. I'm going to come out here and just flow with it. You got people like, man, I'm going to come out here and I can sing on this. Beyonce, listen, yeah, Beyonce smoked it. Anybody can smoke a studio song and then come lip sing it live. Anybody, Dana. Anybody can be live. Anybody can sound live recorded, Dana. Anybody can be the hip singing, Dana. It's like this.
You
went to a concert, Dana, and saw Beyonce lip singing. You'll be satisfied if you saw Beyonce. That's it, right? You've heard her sing live.
Now, it's a bunch of people out here that we don't lip sing. But that girl can sing for real.
But again, I didn't hear her sing live on inauguration.
Okay, maybe you didn't hear her sing the Star Spangled Banner for whatever reason. She cut my horse. We don't know.
Here's a rumor. The band didn't even play the song. It was so recorded that the band did not even play the track. That's how recorded it was, that the band had to stand down. They wanted to hit so hard, like, she, and then look at her face. Nailed it. She finished the song like, I nailed it. Nick and Michelle said, finish lip singing. That's it. End of the show. That's all I'm saying.
Take your hand and make your fist like a little fist. And make that little hand like a hand and thumb puppet.
That's Whitney.
But there's three people that can sing. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know because Beyonce, listen, if there was a battle, and you know, I'm from the hip-hop generation. You might be from R&B generation. I'm from the hip-hop generation. And everything is about a challenge, a battle, who rocked the mic. Let me tell you something. Al Roker dropped the mic like, I can't do no more. He dropped the mic like I was running shit. Kelly Clarkson came out, they hit it, bam. Okay, B, your turn, B. Your turn, Beyonce. What you got?
You know what?
Nailed it. So
what they need to have
at the end of the day, in Hollywood, in the industry, where it counts the most in the industry game,
Kelly Clarkson's stock just went up so high because she outsold Beyonce, because Beyonce had a cold and couldn't prove that she could sing better than Kelly Clarkson. But
no, she didn't. She don't even. Let me tell you something. Beyonce can sing. So, you know.
Well, she did that thing, but.
And Kelly Clarkson, hold on, but wait a minute. Let's not get it twisted.
No.
Kelly Clarkson can sing too. Kelly Clarkson can sing too. And she really,
said,
and she smoked at the inauguration. I was like, oh my God.
I was a betting man.
That's
Dan,
a Dan, butt
Dan, if I was a betting man, and yesterday somebody told me to bet on who had the best performance, I might have been on Beyonce all day. All day long. I would never thought a black country girl.
You cannot. There is no competition for whatever reason. If she did lip sync, it don't matter. Beyonce should sing. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
You can't take away from the fact that this girl is super talented.
Had a baseball game, World Series, that's inauguration. Mike stayed it on the line, like, we got to give it. The whole world's watching. I'm going to hit it. You don't try to, you should not be that scared. You should not be that scared of your performance that you have to go and lay a strike down because only you know that only in the studio can you get down. Only you know that. But that's no problem.
Come on. That's like saying Whitney Houston can only sing in the studio. She can get down in the studio, too. You know what I'm saying? Also,
Dana, 1990 Whitney was far different than 2009 Whitney, okay? Okay, Dana, 1999, 1989, 87 Whitney is different from 2009 Whitney. Let's just keep it like that, you know?
Right, the 80-something Whitney, but she just the same,
okay,
right?
Okay.
The 2009 Whitney was so bad. That even when she came back, when her voice wasn't right, it still sounded right. You know what I'm saying?
Dana, everybody's like, it wasn't old Whitney,
but it sounded good.
make your excuses for why she came with a track, wanted to hit it right, everybody thinks she can sing, it's kind of flop. She had a performer, she knew that she had to be in the studio, laying down a track, get a studio edit, and probably what? Digitized to make it sound good, but who knows that? All she's doing is messing with my mind. That's all she's doing.
Yeah, so then they're trying to mess my mind on that little Beyonce stuff. I'm off Beyonce, you know, since she's faking. You know, like I said, she's probably faking with Jay-Z. But anyway, the point I'm trying to get at is this. It's very interesting, all the celebrations that we're having this week. You had the 50th anniversary of I Had a Dream speech we had with Obama. We got 150 years since the Emancipation Proclamation has been signed. And today, really, it's the anniversary of the death of Lyndon Baines Johnson. Gentleman who assisted African Americans getting those rights. It's funny how Obama didn't mention that or Martin Luther King. It must be something that you can't mention Martin Luther King as a president because, you know, there's some conspiracy theories thinking that Lyndon Johnson had King killed. So I guess one of the Osages, you can never say Martin Luther King name in office. I don't know. That somebody typed up and, you know, threw that out there to me. So I did repeat it there for you to that X. But anyway. We also got the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade that made abortion legal, you know. And I don't know if Roe versus Wade is going to go anywhere, but while you got the pro-choice movement attacking Washington, D.C., and try to make sure that Supreme Court justice don't get in and overthrow it, in my mind, they've been dropping the ball because let's look at the state level. Look at the state level. We got all the laws that have been passed by the state, parental notification, 24 hours notification, the thought process, regulations of hospitals, a whole lot of pro-life agendas has been passed down. If you look at the state level, but 40 years of Roe versus Wade have the pro-choice movement say the age when women took control of their bodies and didn't have men tell them what to do with their bodies. But it's like a whole celebratory week going on, so no matter what side you believe, even if you're gay and lesbian, you got to be celebrating what the president said, you know. Even though he could have picked a better poet, you know, a gay Spanish poet who looked like he had stuck with a deer in the headlights, man, could have found somebody better than my man at the end. But you should be happy with a lot of things going on. You know, given the president's swagger that I saw him swag, person, I believe that things will be different for the African American. I just got a feeling on it. That's not going to make me change parties. I'm still roll Republican all the way through because I don't believe Hillary can handle it or anybody else that's in line. When on the Republican side, we got people like, again, the great dude from Georgia, Herman Cain, Michael Steele, Condi Rice, Colin Powell, J.C. Watts. You know, we can run a whole slate. Because Hillary's going to go unopposed. Nobody's going to challenge her. If she wants it, she's going to get it unopposed. And I really want to see if the Republicans, at the gracious of her heart, let one of us get through there. Will blacks go with Hillary over quote-unquote Condi? It's going to be a whole deep choice. Or will blacks say the same arguments that black Democrats say, the same arguments that black Republicans are saying about Obama? Will they use that to justify them voting for Clinton? You know, a lot of things I want to discuss, talk about, but, you know, it's on what you want to say and what you want to do. And bring Dana back in here. All right, Dana, Dane. But yeah, I just ran through a litany of things which is to be celebrated, you know. But one thing I was... Go ahead.
Why can't we let this brother have... Why can't we let our president have his day? You know what I'm saying?
That was just
he's
today.
Awesome,
yeah, Dana, that was just today, and Mumpus gave him his day. It's back to work Tuesday. So everybody
get him. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. We're about to give him just 4 years.
Right. Right. When you say 4 years, I say 2.5. He only got 18 months to be out of there.
4 years.
Dana, it's 18 months
to be
out of there.
Sorry.
Dana, he should be happy. He only got 18 months to be out of there. He ain't got to work that hard. You know, they're looking for success already. He's won. Just by getting reelected, that affirmed that the nation was not a fluke. There was no racial stuff. So he won already, so it's over. We got about 18 months now. Everybody got to pick their successors. I mean, it's game over. Now the new game is who's going to succeed. Now, I want to see how many people get caught up in, oh, they hold him down, man. Hold Obama down. And then game over. No one can do anything to him.
Anytime, they won't let him. They won't let his policies pass. Come on now.
Dana,
not have the best interest for this country at heart and trying to go based on a vendetta, they don't have no business in there in office representing anybody. It's as simple as that.
You feel better?
I do feel better. Thank you.
I'm not I didn't want to stop it. And I didn't want to stop it. I wanted to let you go because I want to save this point right here. You only have 18 months. If they don't pass another legislation, so? And? If they stall all the things he put through, so? And? He won again. They cannot stop him or harm him from saying he's a no bad president when the overwhelming Americans elected him again. So there's no tactics. Now, if the Americans get caught up in that small-minded, oh, they hold them down, they look at the wrong fight. They look at the wrong fight. And they should now look at the fight between the representatives in the state house, but D.C. ain't got no state representatives, and the Congress, but D.C. ain't got no congressmen. But, excuse me, the point I'm saying is people have tend to look through the local representations now because my man's done. Not done like negative way. He won. Game over. It's not victory. Right now, all you got to do is sit around about 18 months and go on world tours and see foreign dignitaries and fade out. Game over.
Game over. All I know is I'm really excited, and I'm hoping things happen this time. Hopefully we can all come together as a country because we are getting more and more divided. And
Dana, we have come together as a country. If the country came together and elected Barack Obama twice, that should show you that the lie that you be throwing every night on my show is over because we have came together. We have come together.
I know. That don't mean just because everybody came together and voted for the president, we still got a long way to go.
No, we don't, Dana. No, we don't. No, we don't. If we didn't have a long way to go during Barack Obama's first 4 years, what means we have a long way to go during the next 4 years? Now we straight.
We still have a long way to go.
We didn't ask for nothing. We didn't demand nothing. So when the next man come by, we straight. We show the world we straight. We're fine. Now, Barack Obama's in elected office. He ain't got to do a damn thing. I won't be mad if he don't.
Come on,
Dana, I would not be mad at him if he don't. Honestly, I want him to go around the world. Take your family, go around the world, meet foreign dignitaries. Let Congress do their job. Let them send you something to sign.
You know what? I'm going to tell you one thing. Okay, I'm going to tell you this. One of the biggest things I noticed about, after I came home, I got to tell you, I was a geek. And look, hopefully anyone that does not know what the term geek means, it means extremely happy. So I came home and I was geek. I was all excited and feeling all good, right, because I stood out there in the cold and watched it on the screen, okay? But when I came home and I watched them do the first dance, I watched President Obama and I watched Vice President Biden do their first dance, of course, with their wives, with their spouses. And you know what? And they just looked like family. You know what I'm saying? They looked like they were connected. I was like, wow, this is so awesome.
So, George, you tell me, George and Lauren didn't look like family? Nancy and Ronald
and
Ronnie Lane?
They didn't look. They didn't look the other, I just don't think that the other president and their spouses, when they had the first dance, they didn't to me look like, I can't say it like they weren't in love, but they looked young, like they were just, I don't know, I loved it. It was just awesome.
Well, Dana.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm happy. I'm saying it because it was awesome. You know what I mean? If you go back and watch it, they just seemed like they were really into the person they were with, and it just reminded me of, gosh, you know, this is a wonderful thing.
Well, Dana, I put that in the record. Let the record show that you said that. But the point I'm going here is with your racist connotation, want the world to get together. George Bush and Laura.
With my what connotation?
George Bush and Laura Bush look like they love each other, too. Sorry, Dana. You can't
wait. I just
I'm addicted to winning, that's my only way to go. Stop with that weak shit, all I do is go hard from the go. And they know, cause it's straight sick and the pace quick. So far from flow, cup so far from low. And I put it in the sky. If it wasn't cold, no, then they ain't put it in the shot. No lie, little bravado and aggression on my lyrical takeover. Destroy and rebuild is what I'm here to do. Every move pivotal, that's why I make it count up. Google the best to ever do it and you found us. You ain't at the top, you lost and calling down up. I'm chilling in the forefront, pour a little brown up. BS all over your verse, distorting your sound up.
while I'm so clear, it's like you're in from the outer. No limits on my move, the opposite of a coward. Collect the respect, checks, cash, money, and power. It's much better when you witness it. Don't start nothing if you won't finish it. We spend the spark, something, man, that's a new hit again. It's a whole lot of money I got in this pen. Yeah, it's much better when you witness it. Don't start nothing if you won't finish it. We spend the spark, something, man, that's a new hit again. It's a whole lot of money I got in this pen. Yeah. Gotta keep it smooth, cause they keep me in the coast mode. Personal bank, that's where the notes go. And into the business, please handle yearn. Real is the language I speak in my terms. Language of the truth, causing anguish to the roof. Might just lift up, it's all for what I spit up out the booth at my show. You can stay inspired by the youth, just ignorant. Going dumb, but it's harder than self-hate targeting. I'ma make a smooth move. Abracadabra, it's magic, no fooling. Just a who's who with a few that get that new news. Might not have reached the world, but I bet it moved you. Better look at the world from a new view and formulate a new you. Cause the world brand new too. You won't be penalized for too true.
Let me bring Dana back in here. No, I wasn't saying you was racist, Dana, but there are a lot of people in Texas that looked at the way Laura looked at George in admiration and realized, oh, she really loved him, or the way George looked at Laura, oh, he really loves her. But you
well,
know, Dana,
was,
you can't relate to white
like,
Dana, you can't relate to white love, it's okay. If you can't relate to white love,
what do you think President Biden is Caucasian?
I want to know how about.
Say that? No, he looks smooth. Did you see him out there stepping with his wife in their band dress?
They dance.
Oh, they dance too. No.
I missed Biden. No, I missed the Bidens. You know, I saw Obama. I missed the Bidens. I ain't front. You know,
they were great. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the way that they just connected. I'm not saying like President Bush and his wife didn't look like they loved each other. It's not that. They just didn't look as
like
close as right. Right.
That's
like you can see I can see the
you was having black woman with a man up there dancing. You felt
in the
jump.
Little room. Like he loved her.
Look, Danny just said, look, jungle love, which connected to a black woman. That's with a black man. You just all I'm saying is Dana, you just felt more comfortable seeing a black man dance with a black woman than you probably relate to Kelly Clarkson out singing Beyonce. It's one of those things. I'm just saying. It's one of those things. You get
right,
man.
Take
it right, man. Dana,
this is
Dana, it's okay.
This is what,
it is a 213, Dana. Dana, I'm sorry. I'm a blue womb. I got to repeat Dana's little words today. ladies and gentlemen, who listen to my show. For years and years, Dana's been saying we need to come together in love, unity. Stop all this racial division. You know, but this black couple here seemed like they were so in love. The white couple, I don't know. But Dwayne DeRock on the track.
Dwayne DeRock on the track. Feel it.
Yeah. Good look. Good looking out on the track, DeRock. Know how we do. Can't be serious. Chuck B, gotta say it like it really is. Pocket stuffed with cheese like a Philly is. Make more money than all your affiliates. Even them Ukrainian niggas is feeling this. A big city pimp, pull it out and drill a bitch. 8 bank accounts and I ain't even got a wife. I'm at the malls all day like I ain't got a life. Walking out with 10 bags, get your swagger right. And without money, I couldn't imagine life. Broke niggas, I pay y'all to smash your wife. You're dead, say my name, it's the afterlife.
Dynamite.
scientists wanna clone me like Dolly. Politics run DC, compadres. A dick like Cheney is shoot you in the face. I'm a super asshole, a totalitarian leader. Jumping over gates and walls like Derek Jeter. I discern the bad bitches coming to a fetus. R.A. narcissism, the game lead us. And your lyrics are plagiarism, you trying to be us.
Why would he, for one thing, you know, it's kind of like,
It's kind of like going to somebody's wedding and you got on a better wedding dress. It's just stupid. You know what I'm saying? Why would you try to mess up somebody else's celebration? It don't make sense. And he should be ashamed of himself, for one thing. And see, they didn't check him on the stage.
Why don't you let our listeners know? Why don't you inform my listeners on what Lupe did?
He got up there and he tried to mess up the moment. He got to have... He didn't try to have on a better wedding dress. He tried to come to the celebration drunk. You know what I'm saying?
What did he do that disturbed you?
You know what? Now that I think about it, I ain't giving that brother no thunder. He don't deserve none. He should be ashamed of himself. And they should have chucked him off the stage faster.
What did he? I got to check that out now. What happened? Tell us what happened.
He got chucked. He got up there and tried to show his butt, and he got chucked off the stage. He came to the wedding party drunk, and they had a sign, no drunks allowed. He had to go.
I got to see what Lupe did. Let me look that up right now.
Oh!
to let you clear the air since Rosalind Carter and Bill and Hillary look like they fell in love with you.
You know, see, people don't want to. See, this is what I'm talking about. They got this thing called trying to steal somebody's thunder.
90 seconds, Dana. Why don't you can't get your last quote to 90 seconds, Dana? What are you, 30 seconds on?
Look, Jimmy, all I know is you know what I'm wishing. I'm wishing for the world. And I'm just going to have to keep hoping and praying for our country, that we can continue to grow and we can come together. We can move forward. And God bless America.
Well, I cut you off with the America. All right. That's Dana in the background crew. Good in for DC. As always, good night. And may your God be with you. And let's just pray these next 4 years be prosperous for the whole country and all. And that Dana stop shaking her arm. Stop being racist over there. I'm telling you, George and Laura got down too, everybody. Good night. You got to be with you.
Forever excusing your intentions, and I give in to my pretending, which forgive you each time without me knowing. They melt my heart to stone. And I hear you.
Yeah, you make me suicidal. Women make me hate night. Just to rear is homicidal. Little killer, socialite. Bypass a friendly shit. Never like to socialize. Yeah, the mixtape is enough to turn you to a socialite. Up and down, up and down. I can't get the motion right. Trying to ride the wave. Where did life become so ocean like? Gotta show tomorrow. So the flight is happening tonight. Being soon too. If I can't go back to an open light. I would like, I would love. Open mirror, steady shoulder. Chasing you up through the day. My lonely nights are never sober. Looking for that bubble feeling, never find it in the cola. Abusing prescriptions, hoping happiness coming closer. I'm hopeful, but I'm noticed the journey far from over. No.